Welcome to our blessing on this beautiful, beautiful day, February 5th. And it's amazing how many friends I have who have birthdays in this area, this little span of time. Happy birthday to Dale coming up tomorrow. And I've got some other people who are having birthdays later in the month. So happy birthday to all of my February buddies. It's a great time of year to have a birthday because there's Valentine's Day, which is a day of love, and other than that, there just are no major competing holidays. So we get to have our birthday in a very special way. And I want to also congratulate and celebrate the anniversary of our first graduates of the Blessing Course because that happened a year ago today. A year ago today, we were finishing up in our first Blessing Seminar and ready to send our blessing out to the world. And what an amazing event that was. I thought the roof would come off of the hotel. Really. Actually, since we've had our two blessing courses there, I get incessant calls from the hotel manager wanting us to do more. I think we must have completely transformed the hotel. And why not? That's what this is all about. I'm working on some dates that will perhaps be effective in the near future. Unfortunately, I didn't start soon enough, and now the available dates are moving into the late spring and summer where rates are just a little bit higher, and I'm not having a lot of response from people on coming. We do, I want to take this proposition up with all of our blessing givers and see if we can come up with a collective group decision on how to do this. There are many ways to pet a cat, and I've even cats that don't want to be petted. So I'm sure that there's a way we can do this because I know when I talk to you individually, I am constantly being asked, Glenda, when will there be another blessing conference? But in order to make a huge financial commitment at a hotel, we've got to have more than just a few than questions pouring in. We need to have a plan. So we're working on that. We want to make progress on that in 2012 because this is the year of major transformation, and we have a lot of good and exciting work to do this year. So I hope all the blessing givers received my letter about our blessing call next Saturday so that we can rejoin, reunite, and share our ideas and also give a special blessing to the world. There are many who say that February 11th is a special portal for alignment between the planet and the cosmos, and much love is available. And boy, I like to tap into that. You know, I don't really much care what the event is. When people are focused upon it, lots and lots and lots of people are focused upon that event, you can take the energy of that focus and turn it to something higher. So blessing givers, don't overlook the possibility of offering blessings today during the Super Bowl. It's a way of taking a lot of human energy that is focused in a particular direction. People are loving their teams. They're joined with their family and their groups and their old friends and their buddies, and they're having a party. And this is happening all over the world. So, you know, we just need to take the whatever form of positive energy is offered to us. When we gave blessings for the wedding of Kate and William, it's not because we were celebrating the perpetuation of royalty. It's because I think it was estimated that 2 billion people were focused upon that. And it was a subject about love. And so many people had held so much love in their hearts for Princess Diana. And there were memories of that. So we could take those memories. We could take this perpetuation of love, push it up to a higher level, use it to transform all of humanity. Yeshua did that. He would use any positive excuse to build a parable. He would talk about farmers planting seeds, fishermen catching fish. He would say, come, I'll teach you how to be a fisher of men. He would use anything as an analogy, as long as it was positive and productive, and it helped people to understand better how to capture the patterns of life and then magnify them for an even greater and higher purpose. So that's just my little coaching bit for all of you who want to do more work. Wherever you see a need, supply the answer to that need and then multiply it. Think of all the many other ways in which that same answer could apply to all the many other things that are needing a solution, and whatever solution you bring could apply to that as well. I have a caller, and hi, Tom. I remember you were on the phone last time, so here you are, and thanks for checking in. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know, what you stimulated with your initial talk there is the positive aspects that we can look towards in life.
Exactly.
And what comes to mind for me was the Kennedy brothers, the Martin Luther King. You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times these, you know, we look historically at some of the situations that happened. They said, well, he was the philanderer, this, that. You know, Marilyn Monroe stories come out and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is that look to the positive. What was the inspirational message that these leaders brought us?
Exactly.
Brought us
exactly.
To where we
As
are
Yeshua
today.
Said, there are none among us who are perfect. And it's a choice we make whether we want to focus upon the misdeeds and foibles of individuals or we want to assist in the perfecting of their character by focusing upon the positive things they've done.
But I was just thinking of that, I think, because of the way the politics is going, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to take any of that all that seriously, honestly, but it'll play out the way it's supposed to play out. And I know that God's divine order is obviously in control and so forth. And it's a beautiful day here, and I just want to say hello and thanks.
Oh, thank you, Tom, and thank you for getting on and actually checking in. And, yes, here's good advice for you guys, all of us. We're going through election year, and there's no doubt there's going to be a lot of mudslinging, and some of it may be to some degree justified. Some of it may even be false. But the fact is, it's up to us what we want to focus on. Do we really want to focus on the mud, or do we want to focus on the blue sky, as Tom said? And I think the really good advice is to focus upon who has the answer, who has the solutions, who is really addressing the actual, real, positive growth opportunities for our country and for humanity right now. What can bring the greatest amount of growth, the largest amount of optimism, the most likely recovery and turnaround and brightest future? And if you want to focus on the past, you'll just get a replay of the past, guys. And that's what we're covering in a lot of the work we're doing, we're studying in our courses. So thanks for giving me an opportunity to say that, Tom. And we have Leon on the line, or someone with Leon's caller ID. Area code 989.
Yes, this is Bernard Mayday speaking.
Oh, Bernard, hi.
I spoke with you once before. I've been a long-time participant, and I have been with you almost every Sunday as long as you've been doing this. But I wanted to let you know that yesterday would have been my wife and I's 56th wedding anniversary, but she passed away three years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But you had 53 wonderful years together.
Oh, yes. And all I'm saying is I just wanted people to know that you can be married for 50-plus years and have a wonderful life. We did. We did well. She was ill. I was miss her, but, you know, she's not suffering anymore. So I'm glad that she was able to pass quietly.
Oh,
that, thank you.
You're very welcome, Bernard, and thank you for being with us and sharing such a tender and precious story. And it was still your anniversary, and happy anniversary. I know she's still with you, and is part of your blessing every Sunday.
I'm sorry?
Mary, I see you're on the line. Hi.
Hey, Glenda. I just want to say, I just want to hug you for your birthday. Thank you for being born and for being our friend and our teacher and taking us on this marvelous journey with you. And thank you so much to everybody for our year anniversary of Blessing Givers. I have just been thinking about that weekend so much. What an honor and a joy, and it tickles me to no end that you are giving us the wonderful idea of offering a blessing for the Super Bowl, because I don't understand sports, but you're so correct in that so many people are joyful and they're coming together, and what a great idea to tap in with a positive heart. So, boy, all the possibilities for these blessings, they're just endless. And I just thank you so much for this whole journey, and that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, thank you, Mary, and thank you for being part of us and part of the team. We love you, too.
I love you, too.
Hi, Ma, you're on.
Oh, thank you. Happy birthday. Oh, my, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
You are a Valentine for us all. I would just like to quickly ask if when you take these events, these celebrations that you were discussing, and add more love and be grateful for the inspiration and the best offerings that they gave to our country, and then you add this additional love, would that be considered a still point?
I'm not exactly sure. What are you talking about, like the zero point field?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm just trying to understand. I think there was something in one place where Yeshua talked about a still point, go into a still point when there are difficulties and find...
Oh, well, he was talking about look for peace in the midst. It's like the eye of the storm.
There you are. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And we can find that within our hearts. Sometimes we can find that even in an external situation, like the eye of the storm. Look for the place that's peaceful, from which you can make a clear discernment about what needs to be done, whether you want to engage with that situation or not engage with it, and not just get pulled into it because of the vortex of energy you may find yourself in.
Okay.
And we need, he would often go to the desert to meditate just to pull away from all of the, you can only imagine the people that clung to his robes, that wanted to touch him, that wanted to hear the words or be healed, that were clamoring for answers. You can just imagine.
Yeah.
The hundreds, if not thousands, thronging around him all the time. And even though he loved them totally with all his heart, even he had to find a still point.
Yes.
In order to recenter himself in terms of his purpose, because I'm sure he asked himself many times, well, has my purpose been just to heal or to teach or to lead or to provide practical answers, and then he would go and he would return to the center and he would say, no, my purpose is to be the presence of God here on earth, to reveal something that is greater than anything that has ever been seen before.
Yeah.
And so all of us, we need to return to our still points. But what captures us are really the two extremes of our life. One is the troubles we feel we may have either been part of or created. And the other is our delights that we want to keep recreating. And both of those are actually perpetuated through patterns of activity that don't take us to the still point. We have to, and this is what the great masters meant when they said you must learn to detach. It didn't mean for us always to be detached from life. Obviously, we came into this world to be engaged with the flow of life and engaged with those we love and even engaged with the problems we have. But we have to be able to detach. Do you see the difference?
Yes, I do. Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mara. And there's one more call that is anonymous, so I can't announce who it is. You just have to know who you are, and we'll take that call, and then I'll give my final message.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
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 Hello, you're on.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to thank you for the work that you're doing and let you know I've been to both of the Blessing Givers calls and taken both of the Energy of Life courses, and I signed up for the post-grad class, but have not gotten the calling information.
What's your name?
Anne.
Anne. Anne, I will get that. Let's see. What's your last name?
Britt, B-R-I-T-T.
B-R-I-T-T.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I will get that information to you as soon as we get off this call.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And is that all you wanted to say, Anne?
Yes, that's it.
Well, that was important enough, and I'm really sorry you didn't get that mailing. It must check your junk mail.
Yeah, I usually do, so I was just...
Well, check this time, because Candace is pretty good about getting all of those things off, and I've been keeping up with the late enrollments since she doesn't work on the weekends. But I'll find your email address, and I'll get
it off
to you as soon as we end this call.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. And now I'm just going to go... I'm going to take us off of the Q&A mode, and... All right, and I will just give you my last thoughts. And my last thoughts for today actually are an answer. They come in an answer from a question that was posed to me by Genia. Genia, I don't know if you're on this call or not. I don't see your name listed, but you may be on. You may be coming in through another name or anonymous. You sent a question for our postgraduate course, and it had to do with who is the God of the Old Testament? And was the God of the Old Testament the same God as Yeshua told us about? And was that the God that gave Moses the Ten Commandments? Well, it's a great question, but it's something I felt really applied perhaps a little more to the blessing call than to our course, because on the blessing call, I have always encouraged each one of you to connect with God in your own truest way without taking on to yourself borrowed descriptions, borrowed doctrines, borrowed ideas, or conditioned ideas about God. The presence of God is within you, in your heart. And we find this when we really move into our truest and purest prayer. which is why even Yeshua did not want to tell people how to pray, because he knew they would clone his words. They knew he would clone his teachings for them. And each one of us is a bit like a snowflake. And so really, there's no substitute for finding your own true and purest connection with God. Now, to the degree that my opinion is valuable and universally valid, to the degree that it is, I would have to say there's just one God, always has been, always will be. But we humans have an endless number of ways of describing, defining, or saying what God is. And even in the course of one life, just like think of your own life when you were a child, you probably thought of God as some grander version of your grandfather or Santa Claus. Then as you grew up and you asked questions, you were asking those questions of your priest or preacher or teacher, and you got their ideas of what God was. As you started reading the Bible, you look in the Old Testament and you see just like the very thing that probably caused Genia to ask this question. Well, this doesn't even feel like the same God to me, the one being described in the Old Testament and the New. And so when Yeshua talks about the Ten Commandments of love and refers back to Moses, was he talking about the same God? Of course he was. Of course he was. But now I have to add to that. There was a lot of growth in the hundreds and hundreds of years between Moses and Yeshua. A lot of growth of thought, a lot of growth of realization. Some of that went like the forks of a tree into directions of more and more doctrine, which is what Yeshua broke away from. And then others went in more mystical directions. And then Yeshua is born into the world where Judaism and, as a matter of fact, all the other religions of the ancient world were very beleaguered by heavy political forces. And it was difficult to know what was true. And Yeshua came to represent an embodiment of the truth in living form, without need for a doctrine, without need for embellishment. And he taught us about the truth of just pure being and pure connection with God as a personal relationship. But now if we look back on the life of Moses, let's just look at the life of Moses. We can see that he was born as, well, he was at least adopted into being a Pharaoh's son. We're not exactly sure about his birth. There are lots and lots of debates on that now. There are actually lots of debates on Moses' life. But if we follow the traditionally accepted story, he was adopted into being the Pharaoh's son. And he would have been taught about all the Egyptian gods. At the same time, he had a feeling for his Hebrew roots, probably developed connections with friends and family in that direction, and was pretty torn about that, and was forming his own ideas, not exactly knowing what those ideas were. When he went to Mount Sinai, he was given these revelations. No doubt, Moses was in the highest of the high places of being, and completely blown out of this world and all of the boxes of conformed, conditioned ideas about God. He simply made a pure connection with, as he described, the I am that I am. But then he went down off the mountain, giving people the Ten Commandments. He had to find ways of making these things applicable to life. So if you read the four books, the five books written by Moses, the Pentateuch, you will find that he took all of these grand and perfect teachings of God, and he adapted them to ethnic understandings of the day and time. Otherwise, the people wouldn't even know how to apply them. They had not had his epiphany. They had not had his realizations. So he had to adapt his understanding into the way the people lived, the moral codes of the day, the tribal protocols of the day, tribal leadership, even gender discriminations and other protocols and beliefs of the day. He had to adapt the higher teachings of those. By the time all of that was done, it looks like we're talking about a very different God. But we're not. What we're talking about is the purity of God serving the necessary applications of man for living life. And we find this in all days and times. It's the same God when we go to the inner core of our heart. As Yeshua said, go into a closet and just be quiet. Find this place, as Mara was saying, where the stillness comes upon you and you're willing to listen. Just listen and receive the presence of I Am That I Am, helping you to know who you are. Take a moment, pause, be there, and then your prayers probably will address the problems of life. Your prayers probably will even contain some of your judgments, like, please help me get even with that so-and-so who whipped me off. Will you please show him, give him a lesson that he deserves? Sure, your prayers will probably contain those things. Just as Moses had to come down off the mountain and make the teachings of God applicable to the lives of men. Let's face it, we're embedded in the human experience. And I don't in any way judge you or feel less in any way about you that sometimes your prayers even contain your human issues and problems. God sees beyond that. You know, we can't define God. Let's face it, if there's one God, and that one God is the creator of all things, all you have to do is look out to the ocean or up to the heavens to know that God is bigger than anything we can define. But we have to have something we can reach our arms around and hug and feel hugs us back. And God understands that as children we need that. So whatever beliefs you've formed, just allow yourself to use them to the degree that they serve your highest good. And then always challenge yourself to look to a bigger horizon, to ask for more, see more, receive more, understand more, give more, be of a more charitable heart. And in this blessing, I would ask that your prayers always end with, and more than I could even see, ask for, or expect, let all that can be given be given. For you know even more than I that which I need. I trust my life to your greater love and understanding, knowing that you created the very life I live, and you know more than I even the plans I had before I was born into this existence. And so let it be. So we have to have the forgiveness even for ourselves that sometimes we pray from the small picture. We live from the small picture. But then we have to have the courage to reach for the bigger picture and all that can be given that is greater than anything we could have seen. So with that, let us move into our blessing. And I would like to ask as many of our blessing givers as are here to join me today in memory of the first blessing we shared together and offered to the world together a year ago today. And the rest of you, shoes and socks off, unless it's too cold to take your socks off. Sit in a comfortable chair. Sorry, I need to put this on mute. There we go. Okay, shoes and socks off and in a comfortable chair so that your head is facing toward heaven. Just relax. Let go of your mind and all your attachments. Because remember, your mind is always focused on the little picture. Your mind is always focused on the box. Your mind is always focused on the problems. And the problems come from the small picture. The problems come from the box. So let go of your mind for a few moments. And just pray from your heart as you see and feel your connection to God. Being tolerant that you may not see or feel it all, and yet you're open to it all. I will pray my invocation to Yeshua, and then He, the Holy Spirit, the Creator, and our loving earth will unite in a flow of energy that passes through you, opening up more possibilities than you've ever seen, addressing the need you have for healing, physical, mental, spiritual, financial, social, relationship, whatever it might be, or expansion, or just simply peace and well-being. After it's complete, I want you to go and rest. And again, don't bring your mind back into action until you've rested for at least 7 minutes. If you fall asleep, that's totally okay. And we will begin. Dear Yeshua, friend to us all, one with us all, the one who came to remind us of all that we can be, and even more than we could even see at that time, in any time in our life. Let us be at peace with the small picture in which we live and judge it not, and refrain from judging others, that we are not limited by the box our judgments create. Let us open ourselves to all the greater possibilities that life has to offer, knowing that there are no limitations to our Creator, and that the Holy Spirit is ever with us, leading safely into new pathways, new patterns, new relationships, new configurations, new ideas, and new adventures. And that wherever life may take us, you are with us. Just as we have discovered through living, wherever we go, there we are. So too, wherever we go, there you are. And there is the Holy Spirit if we only will open and receive. And our Creator is there also ready and willing to make our every pathway a perfect learning experience, even if in the other areas there were mistakes. We thank you for being here to show us the perfect answer. Amen. energetic transmission is complete. Now go and rest. Have a wonderful week. And I look forward to seeing your name on the roster next week. Bye-bye. And much love. God loves you, and so do I.